The subject that I have that I'd like to share with you today is about giving. And you know, the first thought that comes to my mind and probably to yours too is we just did that a while ago with the offering box. And you know, I am so thankful for how we do the offering box. You know what? It is free will. It is not, nobody checks to see if you tithed 10%. Nobody knows. It's totally between us. That's not my message. But I am very thankful for how we have it. Go to Monarch. You know, there are some religious places that you go to an assembly like that, and you will need to pay individually for your meals. We have had this all of my life, the way we do it. And it's amazing how it works. There has never been a lack in doing it this way. I'm very thankful for it. But you know what? The temporal giving, the giving in the offering box, is not the beginning of it. What I'd like to do is go down to the root. Because when we go down to the root of it, then everything else we have is the Lord's and it's available to Him. So I would like to start with I would like to talk about giving ourself and what all that means. And it has been a challenge to me. I'd like for us to start with a verse in 2 Corinthians, the 8th chapter. Paul is talking to him about, you see it in the first verse, about the churches of Macedonia. And they're giving. But what I want to begin with is a verse down in the 5th verse. This they did, not as we had hoped, but they first gave their own selves to the Lord and unto us by the will of God. I was looking, first gave themselves. Now this did, if you would read these verses before that, it's true he was taking up an offering. But what he had expected from them was just what we do. We give the money in an offering. But what he was impressed with was before they did even that, they gave themselves to the Lord. And then all these other things flowed out from that. And I was looking in the commentary on this. It says the grace of God must be owned as the root and the fountain of all the good that is in us or done by us at any time. It is great grace and favor from God bestowed on us if we are made useful to somebody else. And it made me think of a verse over in Ephesians. Ephesians 2 and 8. You know, we realize, remember where Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing. We want to always remember that. But I look over here in 2 and 8. By grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God. It's not of works, lest any should be able to boast, any man should boast. And I was thinking about the balance here. You remember the one that went up to pray? He prayed about the good deeds that he had done. The Pharisee, it's in Luke 18 and 10 through 14. He told the Lord, he reminded the Lord, I fast twice in the week. I give of all that I possess. Here, Lord, I want to remind you of all the things that I do. Well, what we want to realize is, and it has here a verse of the commentary, it says, the grace to do his will comes from him only, and all the praise of it is due to him. So, you know, if I'm ever able to be of a help to someone, may I allow that to be a reminder to me? It's God that is the author of it all. You know, because here's the thing. There's a verse over in Luke 17 and 10. And it's a reminder to us that after we have done everything that we can do, that we would realize this. So likewise, when ye shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say this. We are unprofitable servants. We have done that which is our duty to do. And you know, Satan would love in these areas of giving ourselves to the Lord, he would love to swing us too far one way or another. And here's, you remember like the Pharisee that was praying? What was he doing? He was sounding a trumpet. I want to let it be known what all I'm doing. Well, you know, that's one way it could swing too far. But here's another way, is for me to take a look at something that needs to be done and say there's someone else that can do it much better than I can do it. So I won't do it. I'll let it go for somebody else. And I realize that through my life, I have allowed that to be a hindrance. Well, we heard a verse this morning, and it's in Matthew. I would like to take a look at this because there is a balance for us. I want to have that balance in my life. Matthew 25 and 15. Matthew 25 and 15. Remember where it's talking about the talents that were given out? It says he gave five to one person, two to another person, one to another person. And this is given in several of the Gospels, this story. But in this one place, he adds another little piece to it. He gave a person five, he gave another two, another one, according to his several ability. So you know what, the one that was given one talent, he was not expected to do what the five-talent person could do. All he was expected was take the one and do something with it. The one that had the five, there was greater expectations. You remember, to whom much is given, much will be required. So even if I've been given something small, there's still some expectation for me. Because you know what? This person did what I have found myself doing in the past. He took the one little talent. Maybe he was watching what the five talent man was doing. He's out here working. He's making another five talents. He's got 10 and I'm still just sitting here with one. So I tell you what I'll do. I'm going to just bury it so at least I'll know where it is. You ever felt that way? I have. You know, you look at other people that seem like they can do it so much better. And what is the tendency then? I think I'll just not try because I can't do it as well as someone else. You know, the Lord wants to reward us by what we do, even if it's a small amount. And I looked at this story. I think maybe it was even mentioned in Sunday school this morning. In John 6 and 9, you remember where it's time for Jesus, his desire is to feed the people. And he could have done it on his own without anything else. But instead, they find here a little lad that's got five loaves and two fishes. But then there was a question that the disciples said, what are they among so many? This is hardly worth pulling this out because we can feed just two or three people and the other 5,900 or 4,900 are not going to be fed. What are they among so many? You know what? That's usually the question that I have about myself is what is my little one talent among so great of a need here? You know, the little boy could have said that. There's no need of me handing this over because it is so small compared to what's needed. There was another place where it talked about Jesus was asking, okay, there's a need here. We need to feed the people. What do you have? And they gave an account. It must have been a different time because it was a different amount of people there. And it's in Matthew 15 and 33. Because again, when the disciples looked at the need and they looked at what they had, they just said, we have a few loaves and a few little fishes. Why would you say a few little fishes? Because I'm taking a look at how many they are. That fish was enough to supply this boy a lunch. But that fish is so little compared to what the need is right here. And that's what is so easy for me to do in my own life. And I feel like today what I'd like to do is encourage us all. It does not matter if I'm the one talent person. Let me just go to the Lord and say, Lord, what can I do with this one that you have given me? I don't want to bury it. Because these folks, Paul had gone to a lot of places. There were a lot of places that took up offerings. But he was so impressed with this one because they had temporal needs themselves that they could have said, you know what, I'm sorry, but this is not a good time for us. But instead it was talking about in their great trial of affliction, they had troubles themselves, but they were still willing to give of themselves. And it made me think about Jesus when he was watching the people casting money into the treasury. He saw those that had plenty and gave plenty. But what really impressed him was the widow, that when she went by, she put in the two mites. You remember how Jesus was warning against the offerings, the way they were being taken up. He said how that some people will sound a trumpet. Here's what I'm giving. Or I even read in the commentary that they had this way of giving that you could throw your change in, and if you did it just right, it would really make some racket as it was going in. Well, hers didn't make much racket because there wasn't much to go into there. But I was thinking, you know what? What was it that impressed Jesus most about her? It wasn't about what we're going to be able to do with all of the money she gave, but he just saw that, you know what? Out of the little that she had, she still wanted to be able to give something. And what I'd like for us to know today is this is not about money, because money is just the surface thing of it. There are so many other things in life that will be benefited by me giving myself to the Lord and just being willing to say, Lord, this seems like a task too big for me, but I'm willing if you'll help me out with it. Because I listened to a message one time, Brother Larry Abbott, and this is what he said. God is not looking for our ability. That's not the thing that he's most concerned with, of finding somebody that can do this job. What he's looking for is our availability. Am I willing to do whatever he wants me to do? And then Sister Sherry Rich said something that has stood out to me. She has said before, God will not usually call us to something we're strong at. He will call us to our weakness. He will call us to the places that I don't feel like I'm capable of doing that. Why is that? Remember, because one thing is, if it's something that I feel like, you know what, I have ability there. God says, my glory I will not share with another. And the danger there is, if I have some ability, and then I say, okay, I can do this job. And where the example of that? In Philippians 3 and 5 through 6, you know, if we looked at Paul, he had a real list of credentials. And he could have made a resume that would have been very impressive. You remember it talked about over in Acts where he was brought up at the feet of Gamaliel. And I looked up who Gamaliel was. Gamaliel was a doctor of the law. And he was a very respected man among the Jews. And so that was one of the credentials he would put in his resume. He could put in his resume was, I have been trained by this man. I am a Pharisee of the Pharisees. But you remember it said, those things that were gained to me, those things that I thought I have something that I could give, those were counted loss for Christ. So you know what Paul did was those things that he had, that he was strong in, they still had to be consecrated back to God so that God would get the glory out of what was done. And I think that same thing is with us. But here's what I'd like to share is today. I think the majority of Christians, and this is just my view of it, we struggle more with inability than we do with feeling like I am so good that I can do it on my own. Mine is, Lord, I can't do it as well as someone else. And you know what? If I'm not careful, I will live behind that. Instead of saying, Lord, I would like to provide you a vessel and that you could use it at any time. For that to happen, there's something that I think we need to see is important. Giving ourselves is the message. But you know what? I need some help with that. I'd like to look over in Isaiah, because there was something that needed to be done But this person was not ready for it just yet. Isaiah 6 and 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, this is Isaiah speaking, I saw also the Lord sitting upon a throne, high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. You know, the very first thing I need to do is realize who I am and who God is. God is way up here. He is the one that should get all glory for anything that's ever done. And it says when he saw that vision, when Isaiah saw that vision, here's what he said in Isaiah, the fifth verse of that sixth chapter. Then said I, and this is done because he saw this vision of who the Lord really was. Woe is me. I'm undone. Because I'm a man of unclean lips, I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips. Mine eyes have seen the Lord, the King, the Lord of hosts. Now we can look at this. If I want to be able to do something for the Lord, there's one thing that I do have to do. I have to be cleansed. I need to be saved. But you know, past that, you know what is real easy for me to look at this and say, I could take this verse right here, what Isaiah saw, and say, okay, I saw the Lord. And I take a look at myself and there is nothing that I can do. But you know what? That's not where the Lord wants to leave us. It says he took a coal, one of the seraphims, having a live coal in his hand, laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips. Your iniquity is taken away and your sin is purged. And now here comes a voice saying something. I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send and who will go for us? And has something changed in who I am now? It says it did. Because then instead of saying, Lord, I tell you what, you need to send these other people instead, he said, here am I, send me. And was it because he said, I tell you what, I look back on my past of what all I've been able to do, I think I'm the right man for the job. No, it wasn't, because just before that he had seen the Lord and saw how nothing he was. But now he's coming to a place where he says, okay, something has been changed inside of me to where I'm willing now. I'm still the one with the one talent, but I'm willing to use that talent. I want to be a vessel that the Lord can use. There's a verse that's kind of interesting to me. In 2 Corinthians 9, and 6. And let's think about this with the talents and me doing something for the Lord. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall reap sparingly. He which soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. Every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give. And let's not think about this as money. Let him give of himself, not grudgingly or of necessity. God loves a cheerful giver. You ever heard about comfort zone? Do you have a comfort zone? And it's hard to move out of that zone. You know, ever since I got saved as a young child, I had a desire to fulfill a scripture that says, don't forsake the assembling of ourselves together. So my desire is when there's meeting, I'd like to be at meeting. And it would come time for prayer. You know, we do that every time. Every service, we'll take up prayer requests, and then it's time to pray. You know what? For many, many years, I was one with one talent, and I want to bury it. Because there are so many people that have a better memory, so many people that it just sounds so much better when they pray. So I will just wait and let them pray. Others can do it better. Or maybe there's just some help that's needed in the service. And I just say, you know what? Others have a better talent. I'm going to just let them take care of it. But what was it in that was said back there in Isaiah? After I saw the Lord and after he had done a work on me, then when he said, I need some help on something, what I said was not, whoa, I'm not able to do it. Instead, I said, here am I, Lord, send me. You know, a comfort zone is a place that I would hide behind. And then one day, You know, there was, when Paul was on his road to Damascus, he had an experience to where he came to the place that he asked, Lord, what would you have me to do? And I came to that place myself. Some years ago, Gary and Audrina got married. She was in Mexico and would not be able to cross the border. So we all went to Mexico and had the wedding in September. And I had expected, okay, it might take a month or two, but in the United States, we have ways that we can cause this to be sped up and it be done quickly. I said, maybe a month or two and she'll be up here with him. You know, it rolled around. We called senators. We talked to people and it would look like it's going to work out and then nothing would happen. It went from that September, all the rest of that year, and all of the next year with nothing happening. Gary was working with me at work. He would work and build up a little time, go to Mexico to see his wife for the weekend and come back to work again. 15 months later, they get a call. We're ready for the interview in Juarez, Mexico. Boy, I was happy. It's finally coming after 15 months. They went into that interview, and when they typed in her name, they said, there's a red flag here. There's something wrong. We're going to have to check it out. So Gary said, okay, we'll step out for a little bit while you check it. And she looked at him and said, you don't understand. Said, it'll take us months to check this out. You go back to United States. She go back to Mexico. We will call you someday when this is ready. And so at that time, Gary said, Dad, I might have to quit and move down there with her. So they gave him leave to go, and he went down there. And 3 months later, they called again and said, come up for another interview. You know what I started doing? Lord, I tell you what, if you'll help them to cross and come up here, I'll do anything. I'll do anything you want. And so they went for the interview and they called us. We're on the America side of the border now. It all went through and we're on our way home. Boy, I tell you what, I was feeling so good inside. I felt like I could about fly. I can still show you the place where I was when I heard the news. I was out in the front field mowing on the tractor. And I was just telling the Lord, thank you so much for what you have done. I appreciate it so much. When I looked up out the porch and Cheryl was up there waving for me to come. So I went up there to see what she needed. And she said, the pastor's on the phone, Brother Stanley. He needs to talk to you. So, okay, you know, I am feeling so jubilant. I want to talk to anybody about it. And so when we got past that, he said, Dan, why I called you was I need somebody to teach the Sunday school class. I said, no way. I can't do that. And then all of a sudden this voice said, wait a minute. You just told me you'd do anything I asked you to do. And it wasn't just a few minutes before that. And so I said, okay, Lord, I'll do it. You know, we have a comfort zone that I would like to stay behind all the time. Got the one talent. But you know what? The Lord wants to bring us to a place where I move out of my comfort zone. You know, I find this morning my comfort zone is stretched again. Because, you know, I felt so comfortable all those weeks when Sister Maxine was going to be here for the Sunday morning service. And I could relax with, okay, I'll just have one service to take care of. I'm a one-talent person, and I cannot hardly be stretched. But what was it that Isaiah said, Lord, here am I, send me. Like Saul, later called Paul, Lord, what would you have me to do? You know, I want that to be my desire. Lord, I tell you what, just show me what you want me to do, and I want to be willing to do it. You know, I want to encourage us, everyone here today. We have comfort zones that we can just hardly break free of. But you know that song that Sister Angela wrote, "We need each other, brethren." We sure do here today. We need each other. We're a family here. And I want to encourage us, let's all be ready and ask them, the Lord, what would you have me to do? If a prayer is needed, Lord, I'll give it. Because you know what I would do? I would listen to others that could just remember all the names and every request and say somebody else can do it better. When Wednesday night comes, Lord, help me to come with a fresh loaf of bread. Something, a fresh scripture that the Lord has given me this week that has been a benefit to me that I'll be able to share with others. Let me sing this song sometimes. What hath the Lord done for thee? Said, I was laden with sin when I came unto him, but he hearkened to my earnest plea. He had promised to save and he freely forgave. All this hath the Lord done for me. What hath the Lord done for thee? He doth give me each day grace to walk in his way. He makes me happy each moment I see. And with joy he fills up and overfloweth my cup. All this hath the Lord done for thee. And so then I have to turn it around. Okay, what am I willing to do for the Lord? You know, we sing this song, what a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to share, to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. You know, if I could just see, when we come to service and we give our requests in, it's a privilege to be able to take those to the Lord. And if we could say, you know what, but I might not remember them all. You know, I have been maybe embarrassed in the past when I say, okay, I'll move out of my comfort zone and I'll pray. But I don't get all the prayers, all of the requests in. And so when I quit, somebody else starts praying again and gives all those that I forgot. You know what I can do with that is say, okay, if you can do it that good, you're going to do it all next time. Because you remembered all those I had plus the other. I could do that. Or I could say, you know what? Sometimes when people play basketball, there's one that he works it up close to the goal, but he's not in the right position, so he tosses it over and somebody else finishes the point. You know what? What matters is, what a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. So if I can remember some of them and I quit and you just pick on up and finish it off, that it, you know, the devil would love to come into these. First of all, he would like to say, don't try it. You're going to mess up. Then if I try it and somebody else has to finish it, yeah, you really did mess up. But to be able to say, oh no, I brought some of them and somebody else finished up with the others. It's not a competition. You know what? I'm coming to service to serve, to be served and also to serve. I've got a song. Damon, if you could find it for me. Here am I, Lord, send me. If you could put it on the, for everyone. But there's a couple verses that I'd like for us to look at in closing. In Ecclesiastes, the 9th chapter and in the 10th verse. Pretty small verse. Whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. So whatever I say, okay, Lord, I'm willing to do it. What I want to do is I want to put my very best effort into it. Maybe it's not as good as someone else could do. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it with your might. And then there is another in Matthew 24, the 24th chapter. You know, the biggest thing is I want to be ready when the Lord calls that my end has come. It's time now to leave here. What would it be right here? It says, let's start at the 44th verse. Be ye also ready in such an hour as you think not the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household to give them meat in due season? Blessed is that servant whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find so doing. You know, it's real easy for me to take off like a house of fire, and I'm going to really make some things happen, but I run out of gas pretty quick. This person, he didn't know when his Lord was going to be coming back. Blessed is that servant when his Lord cometh. Maybe it's this year, maybe it's next year. He just finds him doing the things that he knows to do. That's what I want to be able to do. I want to be willing, even though I'm a one talent, that I would say, Lord, here am I. Send me. Is there something that I can do for you? You know what, whether it's here in the chapel, us all working together, or whether it's on my job or wherever it is, I can tell the Lord, Lord, I don't have many abilities. I'm afraid to be in public. I can remember there was a big old word is called inferiority complex. And if anybody had it, you would think big people don't have it. Big people do have it. To where I was embarrassed to be around people. I would be willing when I was in school, I wouldn't eat lunch because it caused me to be around a lot of people. I would go home and I would eat a 16-ounce can of pork and beans waiting for supper because, I would not be around people. I'm just can't do it. So you know, it is really hard when the Lord came along and said, okay, you made a promise. Are you willing to fulfill it? I still want to be. So if we could sing that song, and then I have another verse.
Control each day. I will follow anywhere, near or far away. Hear my Lord, send me. Hear my Lord, send me. I will serve you. Send me
the other verses.
Want your perfect will, be my faithful guide. I will never be afraid. You are close beside. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me. I will serve you faithfully. Here am I, Lord, send me. Let me see my mission field. All around each day, fill my heart with Jesus' love. Use me, Lord, I pray. Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me.
So as we go from here, let's remember the churches of Macedonia. Yes, they gave it the offering box. But what they did more than that was, the first thing they did was they gave themselves to the Lord. Just use me however you want to use me. The Lord understands. It said he gave according to the several ability. So he knows what we're capable of. He will not require more of us than we're capable of. But he wants me to be willing to give of myself. It made me think again of the lad with the loaves and the fishes. I don't think they had to. The disciples said, we caught this boy. He tried to run away from us. He knew he was going to take his lunch. And he tried to get away, but we caught him, and here it is. I don't think that happened. I just wondered, this is just in my mind, but I kind of think of him overhearing what they're talking about. We don't have food here. And he's got this little sack with a little bit and says, you know, here's what I've got. Willing to hand, you know, a child is not able to see things like an adult can. And it's probably bad for us as adult. A child just sees, hey, here's some food. You said you're needing some food. Here's some. He doesn't recognize maybe so much that it can't feed 5,000. You know, we start looking at what can't be done with this little bit. But I believe he just offered it and he gave it and the Lord was able to bless it. And I think that's what he wants to do with us each one today. Not just here in the chapel, but also here in the chapel. When we come, before we come to service on Wednesday night, Lord, give me a scripture through the week that I would be able to meditate on and bring to service to feed other people. And Lord, if there is a need for prayer, I can't do it like someone else. But you know, if I miss some, pick up after me and just go ahead and finish the 2 points that we need. We'll send them all up to the Lord. Really, that's all it is anyhow, is us just talking to our Heavenly Father. He wants us to be able to, he wants me still to move out of my comfort zone. Be willing to give myself to the Lord. I desire your prayers. Amen.